Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Season's greetings, Benjamin.
And to you, good sir.
It's almost here, isn't it? The countdown is now well and truly on. I was in the car the other day, had the radio on, full-on Christmas music. It was a full-on tinsel assault on the ears. Yeah.
If you can pause the podcast and just crack open a window, you might even hear sleigh bells.
Really? Was that just some nutter going down the street? In the old days, when I was young, which I think is now officially the old days, there was, possibly not quite this early, but you would get, like the local Rotary Club or Lions Club, would come around the streets with a Father Christmas on a sort of float.
Yeah, we did that where I used to live. They stick him on the back of a council van.
That just sounds like I'll just put him on the. You might as well just put him on the back of a dust cart.
It was about the equivalent of that, and because that looked quite crap as well, and also the fact that, and I'm not trying to, I know some people get upset with me for this, but fuck it, it's true. Because it was in Croydon, the van was going at some speed try and get through. So it was like watching Santa do a drive-by. It was fantastic.
Ours wasn't quite as bad as that. He would come around the streets, go down the road quite slowly. My memory of it was that it was all very, there were probably some sleigh bells going. They must have been playing some music, I think. I think there were all lights around. It was like a carnival float, and it was all for charity. You know, people would walk down the streets rattling buckets, and people would come out of their houses. And I remember as a child, that was like a really exciting thing about the lead up to Christmas. And that's completely stopped now. I can't remember the last time that ever happened where I live.
Oh, it's probably coronavirus restrictions now, I imagine.
Well, now these days, yeah. But I mean, even when I was in my teens, that had all come to a stop. Really, it was all the joy of the 1980s, Ben, that being a child of the 1980s, where these things still happened.
No, Santa used to fly through my village so quickly that I grew up thinking Santa said ho ho. It never got to the third one, he'd gone. He was off in the distance.
You've got to avoid the snipers. And also, if you go too slowly in Croydon, they're bound to set fire to your float eventually. Set fire to your beard.
Oh, you'd be on the naughty list then.
But it's like the Salvation Army, Ben. They used to come round your streets and play the little brass bands. That don't happen anymore, does it?
No, we used to get the convicts.
Convicts?
Yeah. You must have had the convicts come round trying to sell you J-cloths and stuff that you don't want for a tenner.
Not really. That wasn't really a Christmas thing, was it? Was that like a Christmas thing?
I think they often used to come around at Christmas to get an extra sympathy cell.
Oh, I don't remember that. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I suppose as a child, I wasn't that bothered about a J-cloth.
Oh, it wasn't just J-cloths. They had a whole string of things, you know, coarse sponges, anything you could ask for the kitchen or bathroom.
I mean, it'd be handy in a way.
No, it wouldn't. They were so overpriced, it was unreal.
I know you're a grown-up, Ben.
Yeah.
But are you amongst the number of grown-up people who still do advent calendars?
It's funny you say that, because, and I know it's a wee bit late, but only just today, Mrs. Ben presented me with an advent calendar.
Really? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I haven't had an advent calendar probably since I was about 12. And I must admit, there's a bit of me sometimes thinks, that maybe if I had one, I'd rediscover that excitement about the build-up to Christmas. Now, what kind of advent calendar has Mrs. Ben bought you? Is it an adult one?
It's a very, very cool one.
I'm going to try and guess what it is.
Okay, I'll give you one clue. Mm. It's something you know I'd like.
You see, my first thought is wrestlers. Is it like,
it's funny how you started this off by saying, you're an adult now, aren't you, Ben?
You know, each door you open it, like Christmas Eve, that's the big one. That's Hulk Hogan in a Santa outfit.
You haven't watched wrestling in quite some time.
Can I correct you there? I've never really watched my wrestling. But Hulk Hogan is an A1O. The Rock.
There you go.
Who's that? Who's the other one? I was going to say the funeral director, but that's not his name, is it?
The Undertaker. He didn't really do the admin work in the office.
It's the same thing, isn't it? If it was a British wrestler, he'd be called the funeral director. It'd be a much more civilized thing. So is it a wrestling
But I do enjoy the idea of our Trevor and Ben's wrestler advent calendar, a different, very dated wrestler behind every window. And because we don't need to worry about copyright getting it past the WWE, because we can just call it the funeral, whatever you call it, the funeral director.
I'm going to let you into a little secret. Just while we're on this, I was I just started searching online for Christmas present ideas, and I was looking for ideas for you.
Oh,
and I did search for wrestler. I put wrestler in, and I tell you the one thing that popped up, which I almost thought, should I buy this for Ben for Christmas? But then I thought, I don't know whether this is really offensive. Or not to you, but just in general, whether it's really offensive. But then if it's that offensive, it shouldn't really be on sale. On Amazon, you can buy a calendar for 2022, which is of miniature wrestlers.
When you say miniature wrestlers, you don't mean the wrestling figurines you can buy. I mean wrestlers of limited height.
Yes, yes.
I can name a couple. No, I can't. I can name one.
Okay.
So it's going to be a short calendar. Sorry, that was an accidental pun. I really didn't mean that.
We're well out of order, Ben.
I honestly didn't mean that. I meant it'll only be January, because I honestly can't think of 11 more little wrestlers. Is that PC? Can I say little wrestlers?
I don't know. I don't think you can. Not sure you can say that.
Well, I'll apologise if I've offended anyone.
But it's a thing. So is there a separate kind of organisation for wrestlers of limited height?
No, I don't believe so. I don't know. There was the famous Ricky Gervais story about the lion who fought the Cambodian Wrestling League, which was a wrestling league exclusively for little people.
Oh, okay.
I won't repeat what it was called, because it uses a word that we no longer use.
Yeah.
The Cambodian something fighting league, I believe it was, the CMFL, if you needed any more hints. but that story quite happily turned out to be complete fabrication that never happened, thankfully.
But wasn't the outcome that the they'd all been eaten?
Yes, which is why, thankfully, it wasn't true.
Yeah. So anyway, back to your advent calendar. I'm going to have another stab at an idea here. Is it a Rick and Morty advent calendar?
That's a nice idea. It's not. Do you want another clue?
Go on, yeah.
It's slightly more complicated than your average advent calendar.
Oh, okay. Is it like an escape room
advent calendar? Bang on.
Well, that's interesting.
Bingo.
I like the sound of this. So is it every day there's a little puzzle? And does it all lead to one giant puzzle?
Basically, none of the doors are numbered.
Okay.
So there's like a key on the back of the advent calendar, which gives you certain sort of guides and things to go by, like various sort of keys to how to solve certain puzzles, and it'll give you hints and it tells you roughly where to start, and you're supposed to just decode to know where the next door is.
Well, that sounds exciting. Now, you've had it a bit late, so you've had to do a few in one hit. How have you fared so far?
I've only been given it this afternoon.
Okay.
And I told her I'd have a look at it after work. Now, I came back from work and then it was podcast time, so I'll let you know next week how I'm getting on.
Okay.
With the escape game advent calendar.
That's a great idea. I've not heard of one of those.
It's good fun, isn't it?
That's a great idea. Because, I mean, when I was a kid, like, the king of the advent calendar, I mean, we didn't get a new one every year. We just had the same advent calendar every year. My brother and I had to take it in turns to open the doors. I think possibly when we got to about 10, 11, we did eventually get, again, not one each, but we did eventually have one with chocolates in. And that was like the king of the advent calendar, wasn't it?
Well, I don't want to sound spoiled, but I've never had it or known anything other than chocolate filled advent calendars. So I am a little bit younger than you, so maybe that's just luck, but I can't think of anything more disappointing than an advent calendar with no little treat behind the window.
Yeah, well, I mean,
by the way, I've just called myself calling it a window, and earlier I've recorded it
door.
As a door. Which is it?
I would say it's more of a window. Isn't it? I don't know.
I mean, a window you can see through, And
yeah,
and famously, you can't see through advent calendars.
But yeah, when I'm trying to think, when you say to someone, "Have you opened? Which window did you open on your advent calendar?" I think you would tend to say window.
Would you?
But I would say it's probably technically more of a door.
I'd say I wouldn't pull you up if you used either. I think either is acceptable. But
well, that's something that the Christmas officials need to nail down, isn't it? I mean, how long have advent calendars been around? And if we haven't quite nailed down whether it's a door or a window yet, then that's a lack of leadership when it comes to Christmas somewhere along the line, isn't it? Is that up to Father Christmas? Does he have to deal with that?
I think Father.
I mean, he's got enough fucking time on his hands to the rest of the year, isn't he? He should be able to work that little conundrum out.
People always say he's got nothing better to do for the rest of the year. The rest of the year is spent painstakingly planning the organisation and journey to every child on the planet in one evening. Yeah, he's got a lot on his plate.
But hasn't he got a lot of, like, miniature wrestlers to help him?
That's reindeer you're thinking of.
No, I'm thinking of elves. I don't know. I mean, I suppose he's got to compile the list. I just thought he'd have admin that would help him out with that.
You know, speaking of the big man himself, he's been in all sorts of trouble this year.
Has he?
Well, yeah. Have you not seen the new Tesco Christmas advert?
Oh, God, I just wondered where we were heading when you said that.
No, he's not been cancelled, don't worry. It's nothing to do with Me Too or anything like that.
Right, okay.
So Tesco...
Operation Fir Tree.
Tesco have put out their new Christmas ad, and it's become one of the most complained about adverts of the year. It's gained over 3,000 complaints.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it because I tend not to watch too many adverts.
Well, Ofcom have looked at it and listened to everyone who complained and basically said, no, there's nothing wrong with this advert.
Okay.
Go away.
Right,
so they cleared it and it's back on air. I wonder if you can piece it together. Just you can sort of interrupt me when you think you've seen where it's going.
Okay.
So I won't play it for you. I'll just tell you the loose plot. Basically, Tesco's
plot.
Begin.
I love the fact it's an advert. It's got a plot.
Of course it does. Someone storyboarded this shit. Anyway, they start off by acknowledging that we've had a very, very difficult year.
Right, yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice to celebrate Christmas properly this year? Although, due to recent problems with the world, it might be a bit tricky getting the presents to you because Santa might have to run into some problems crossing the borders to get the presents to everybody. And then Santa, he produces his vaccine passport.
Oh, okay.
And through he comes and Christmas is delivered.
So the controversial bit of this is the COVID passport.
Yes, people have been outraged that Father Christmas... had to produce a vaccine passport.
When are you
saying it's an infringement on our human rights?
And
Santa's got political. I mean, I'm now reading another article on it. It's saying over 5,000 complaints have now amassed for this thing.
Wow, just let it go. It's a bloody advert.
It's incredible.
It's not that advert. It's not government policy being announced. So just let it go, people. What is wrong with you? But it does throw up a very interesting issue, which I don't think I've ever considered. Just how Father Christmas is allowed to just cross borders without any checks or controls. I mean, even those holding the highest positions of society, kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers, all have to go through some kind of passport stroke border control when they are going through another country.
I'd never really considered Father Christmas's flagrant disregard for international travel rules.
Well,
but
yes.
I suppose I'd always just sort of chalked it up to, well, it's magic, innit? So that's all right.
Yeah, it is magic. Maybe that's the key, that he doesn't, theoretically, doesn't cross borders. Or I don't know. I'd never thought about that before. And the fact that you threw up the idea of borders made me just think, well, actually, bearing in mind Santa's going, you know, he's carrying unidentified parcels. No one's checking that luggage. If a terrorist really wanted to really strike fear across the world to hijack that sleigh, you'd be no checks. You could just load that sleigh with explosives. It'd be an awful carnage that they could bring about on the world.
I do think that's an idea for next year's Christmas advert. It's Santa amidst a social media shitstorm. Maybe coming out with a little blue rosette on. And he just assures people that when it comes to crossing international borders, all guidelines were followed. And no matter what questions are asked, all guidelines were followed. All guidelines were followed.
And there's no way the police would investigate it. It was a year ago anyway.
Trev, now, from time to time, we like to talk about the odd conspiracy theory on the podcast. I think we're fairly well-known skeptics. Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say that most of what we hear, we cast aside as absolute bullshit.
But I must admit, this week...
I don't like the fact you've thrown in a butt. Here we go.
Well, and now...
I can hear the tin foil hat rustling. Okay, yeah.
I must say, I don't believe this is anything other than just quite an amazing coincidence.
Right, okay, go on.
The new coronavirus variant
is Omicron.
Omicron. It's actually called Omicron B11529.
Oh, I think I know what you might go on to say here. Is this to do with an anagram?
It certainly is.
Okay, I saw this.
So if you remove the numbers, you're left with Omicron B.
Yes.
Which is an anagram, no crimbo.
Well,
now that's quite incredible, considering there were people months ago saying that they're going to call off this Christmas too. And as we get closer and closer, they're getting warier and warier of the new Omicron variant. And you know, this time next week, they'll be cancelling Christmas. And the current variant that's caused it, Omicron B, is an anagram of no crimbo. Now, I don't believe there's any conspiratorial link. All I think that it's quite possible someone was taking the piss with this one.
I mean, it's possible. The only thing I'd say, because I saw a lot of people discussing this on social media in the week. And the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, that's clever. You know, I just thought somebody has seen it and thought, because the reason I don't think there's any mileage to this at all is because there are very few people who use the word crimbo. It's a very English thing. I can't imagine anywhere else in the world the word crimbo is used.
I'd agree with that.
So it would have to be a joke just for us. And I think that's quite a stretch of the imagination that you've got all these scientists who, let's face it, are probably shitting themselves because they've got to deal with this new variant of COVID. And they look at it and I don't know, they're sitting around, they're probably having Zoom meetings between all these scientists. And they go, we've never seen so many mutations so far on the virus and it's all on the bits that attach to you. Oh, it's going to be awful. It's a nightmare. And then someone just puts their hand up and says, why don't we come up with a name that in anagram form says no crimbo? And the rest of them go, yeah, hang on, that's a good idea. Right, so we need an put all the other research down for let's have a brainstorm. So we want to make no crimbo. I mean, already the bloke who's given the idea, he's gone for the word crimbo. You've got scientists from all over the world. He's probably having to explain that we call it crimbo, or certain people call it crimbo.
I'd be willing to bet the Aussies call it crimbo as well.
Possibly, because they put an O on the end of everything.
Of course they. No crimbo, mate.
Okay, but even if there's two nations that use the word crimbo, that's still very few people compared with the entire world. And the scientists wouldn't have time to come up with a joke like that.
Well, you say that. What if I told you, and I don't know this, but what if I discovered right now, I said, Trevor, you say that. Actually, the guy who was in charge of the naming committee, he was British, or he was an Aussie. Would that would add a bit of weight to it, wouldn't it?
No, I think scientists do have a sense of humour. I'm just not sure the coronavirus is something that requires that kind of levity.
I don't know. It really cheered me up when I heard. I thought, that's fucking amazing.
Oh, no, it's brilliant. And don't get me wrong.
As well, which kind of decries it, is that no one's really calling it Omicron B. It is Omicron B.
Yes.
But no one's really calling it that. They're calling it Omicron.
Well, I didn't know it was Omicron B until I saw the first tweet telling me that that it was No Crimbo.
Oh, and right, okay.
And the tweet had to explain that that the full name was Omicron B. So you're absolutely right that it's very unlikely. But if in 10 years' time they're doing a documentary, they're looking back at our time living through COVID, and they speak to the head, Mr. Van Tam, or whoever it is who's in charge of all this stuff.
Jean-Claude Van Tam.
Yeah. And he says, well, the thing was, we'd had such a shit couple of years, hadn't we? And we were on the floor, to be honest. We'd another variant come in, and we were rock bottom, and we just needed to cheer ourselves up. We knew Christmas would be cancelled. So yeah, we did it. We sat around for 4 hours just shuffling letters around. It was like the longest scientific version of countdown there's ever been. And when we got it, when we got Omicron B, that's No Crimbo, we were just like, call it. And Omicron is such a great name. Stick a B on the end, it makes it sound scientific. Just throw some letters, some numbers on, even better. So I'd love that. And I would hats off to the scientific community if that was the case.
Love it.
But I don't think it is. I don't think these sort of conspiracies, as we've always said, they don't really hold much water.
Yeah, I don't believe it's anything sinister. I just think it's quite an amusing coincidence. But I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah.
There was one other conspiracy theory I heard in recent months. Now, I must say, again, I personally don't believe in it. It's just a bit too far-fetched. But if it turned out to be true, I'd be scandalized, but I wouldn't be shocked. I'd think, oh, well, that's kind of typical. Can you be both? I feel like I'm saying I don't believe in it, but it's eminently plausible.
Well, I think that's fair. I think it's a bit like the Omicron B and No Crimbo. I'm saying
okay. There's
probably no way, but if in 10 years I find out, yeah, there was some validation to the idea, great.
So the theory goes that the recent fuel crisis we've just been through,
yeah,
was orchestrated by the petrol companies. And the reason is we've had a couple of years with quite heavy lockdowns scattered throughout. Now,
so the income's down.
The income is down. Nobody's going anywhere in their cars, so nobody needs petrol.
Mm.
So what do the petrol companies end up with the backlog of? Petrol.
Yes.
Tons of the stuff that they just can't shift because no one's going anywhere because they're being told to lock down in their homes.
Right, yeah.
Now, petrol has a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it will become useless and be worthless and be, so, you know, I don't know what the technical term for it would be with petrol, but stale, gone off.
Stale.
Whatever, you know? Yeah. So,
you're not a scientist, are you?
I'm not a scientist. Is it that obvious? You're left with massive billionaire companies, petrol stations, whoever owns the petrol. I know so little about this, but those people,
yeah,
at petrol owning level.
Can I just say that you are demonstrating all of the traits of a conspiracy theorist by not knowing any of the real information involved in the story.
So in order to get rid of this problem, we've got hundreds of tons of petrol about to go out of date. And it's going to be useless to us. What we'll do is we'll start getting some of the petrol stations we supply to close early.
Yeah.
And tell everyone there's no petrol left. And we will cause an international petrol shortage, a fake one that doesn't really exist. But what it'll do is it'll get everyone rushing out, panic buying, filling up their tanks, even when they don't need to. Jams round the block, all queuing up so they can fuel up and get all of that lovely, almost out-of-date petrol in their tanks so that they get it and pay for it and we don't lose out.
I mean, it's a very cynical view of the petrol industry.
I don't believe it's happened, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility, especially when you get into how much money could be lost by losing hundreds of thousands of gallons worth of petrol, or however much they hold. I don't know.
Well,
that's the only difference between me and a conspiracy theorist. At least I'm willing to admit when I don't know.
Yes. I mean, look, I think yes, if we lived in a world where it was all a TV drama and you've got all the moguls, the petrol moguls, all working together to create this, it's a possibility, isn't it? It's a possibility. But in reality...
you say in reality, you're talking about billion-pound businesses who would need to put their heads together, and it's of complete mutual interest. Because it's better that they all muck in on this deal and they all get it all shifted and sold rather than they all lose out.
But they didn't have enough fuel. If they created this...
No, there was never a shortage of fuel. It was a shortage of drivers to get it to the place.
Right, so what happened? Did they... Because the driver shortage was to do with Brexit. So how did they... Because they would have had to have had a hand in all aspects of this. So how did they create a driver shortage?
They didn't create the driver shortage. They created the panic.
Right.
Around... They might have just spotted the ideal time to strike. And also, their arm was kind of twisted. They had to strike because their petrol was about to go out of date. So they had to pull the trigger on it at some point.
But how long does petrol... It would have had to be sitting there.
It will surprise you not to know the answer is I don't know how long petrol lasts for.
Because it would have to be sitting there a very long time, I would imagine, for it to become no use at all.
Are you assuming that the petrol you're putting in your car is the most freshly produced petrol? You know, it's just off the production plant. It's going straight in your car. It's probably been in tankers for years somewhere.
For years?
Oh, God knows. I can't stress enough how I don't
how
know.
How little you know. How much bullshit you're spreading. Look, it's plausible, but I don't think so. There's a bit of me as the kind of anti-capitalist that would want to believe this and say, well, yes, that's the evil of money. There it is being displayed for you, for everyone to see, and therefore prove my point that it's not... You know, there's that phrase people say, it's the biblical phrase, the love of money is the root of all evil and not money.
Yes.
I dispute that. I think it should be money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, because, I mean, if money didn't exist, you couldn't love it, could you?
Yeah, there wouldn't be the greed. So everything to do with money, it always feels a bit dirty and grubby, doesn't it? I mean, we all need it. Of course we do. But there's a grubbiness about it. But if you get beyond that, these people who earn billions of pounds, the grubbiness probably doesn't matter, does it? So you can do what you want. But what I'm saying is that it would prove my point that they would go to such lengths to make their money that everything is evil about it. But in reality, I think it was all about the fuel shortage.
So you're sort of putting it up there along with Omicron B. It's an interesting idea, but probably not anywhere close to reality.
Yeah, I think it's certainly in that category. Without
I am happy with that.
Let me run this by you. This isn't a conspiracy theory, but I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we just got talking in general about the shit show that is the world.
Yes.
Right? And he came up with a theory about what the world needs to make things better.
Go on then, what does the world need now?
An alien invasion.
What? No, that's the last thing. No. We've had it hard enough.
Listen, I was listening to him and I think it makes perfect sense. Because you look at the shit show that is the world, there are two huge things in the world going on right now that you would think would unite the human race. COVID.
Yes.
That's a global crisis that should unite the world. And it hasn't really, has it?
No.
The other thing is global warming. You thought, well, there's a cataclysmic event on the horizon, and we don't seem to be... We had COP26 a couple of weeks ago. They sort of came up with a few ideas, but not enough. You know, it's global warming's not enough to bring us all together. And I don't mean just leaders. I mean, all of us, you know, how passionate have we all really been about these things, right?
Okay. Right. Yeah.
If aliens were to approach the Earth, hovering above the Earth in their ships, and weren't necessarily going to attack, but were sort of saying, look, people, we've been observing you for some time. Just sort it out. Otherwise, we will just finish you off. Would that be enough to bring the human race together, to actually stop wars, stop fighting, just get together and solve the problems?
No, it wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. I've got so many points I want to make here. Firstly, and I'm not trying to upset any Christians before you all start on me, but according to the Christian religion, God sent down Jesus Christ, his only son, and he was to teach us love and the true way to get into heaven and be peaceful and lovely and nice to each other. They crucified him.
Yeah.
That's what they did with Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus
yeah.
was crucified.
Yeah.
If an alien came down and said, right, we've been keeping an eye on you humans, and if you don't pull your socks up and do X, Y, and Z, you're done for. We wouldn't all come together. There'd be people who would dispute the aliens existed. There'd be people saying it was a government conspiracy theory. It was a hoax. They did it with holograms. Then we'd be having pro-alien, anti-alien debates. Do the aliens mean it? Don't they mean it?
But if it's a shit show. No, but if we were faffing about with having seminars about, do they mean it? Then they'd probably have a little demonstration of their abilities. They might just, I don't know, they'd just destroy Belgium.
People in this planet can't be convinced to take a vaccination for the good of other people. People aren't going to be bossed about by some fucking alien, mate. There's going to be people that want to try and work out a way of attacking the aliens. There'll be sections and campaigns to save the aliens. It would cause so many more problems.
No, but if the aliens were to come and say, look, you know, as I say, we've been watching, we're not here to hurt, but unless you sort it out, then we will just finish you all off. Then wouldn't that bring people together? The aliens hovering above us in a big old ship with lasers pointed at us, would that not be enough?
No. In my very cynical brain, no. Because have you ever seen how just the internet works? I won't use the language I deploy when I normally tell this story, because I use quite a severe word, which I don't think the podcast needs it, but you'll know which word I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I've already got it in my head.
Good. If you were to go onto the internet, onto Twitter, for example, and say genuinely to all the followers I've got, to everyone, to the world, I have just discovered a cure for cancer.
Hmm.
Somebody on Twitter would call you a fucker, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, the aliens have got to take out social media. That should be their first port of call. Just get that off the agenda entirely. One thing I feel I should pick up on, something you said.
Go on.
Without getting into any real theological debate, because I don't think either of us are qualified for a long-winded theological debate.
But I'll try and keep it in a nutshell.
But when you said Jesus came down, sent down by God, and we crucified him.
If you're about to trip me up on my understanding of the Bible, that's not really fair to do that to an atheist who hasn't read the Bible from pillar to post.
But all I'm going to say is, I think God was well aware of what was going to happen to his son, and his son died for our sins. So there was a sort of consequence of him being crucified, and that was supposedly for all of our sins.
Yes, so, I understand that, but just because God was aware of that doesn't mean that the humans knew it. They just had this divine being telling them the way to salvation and love, and they literally crucified him. What God knew is irrelevant to this. It was how our planet treated this divine entity.
Well, but then you could then argue, if you believe in it, that many were saved as a result of that, because they believed in what he was saying and became followers of him. So therefore many were saved. So if we're going to do the same with the aliens, maybe it would be a sort of similar thing, in that those who deny the aliens won't be saved.
But your whole thing about your mate's whole theory was that it was to save the planet, was this alien invasion. And if it causes division, that means half the planet is saved and half the planet is not being saved, then that doesn't save the whole planet. Your mate's theory saves 50% of the planet at best.
When you say saves 50% of the planet, what you mean is saves 50% of the people, which actually will probably save the planet in the long run, because we need to decrease the population of the planet anyway. So if the aliens take out half of it, then actually they are saving the planet. So actually, I think my mate's being proved correct, because those who deny the aliens will be, their brains will be boiled and their skin flayed via the laser beam from the ships. Those who believe will have an eternity of blissful fellowship and union with our fellow beings from another planet.
No. What's happened is it won't be an even split. It won't be bang on 50-50. It'll cause so much headaches and arguing. We're going to have a vote on it. It's going to come out 52-48. Your mate has just made alien Brexit, is what he's done.
Do you think Piers Corbyn will come up with a song? Before we go this week, Ben, last week was the inaugural Dick of the Week award. I've got a couple of nominations this week.
Okay.
And I thought I'd put them to you and you can pick who will receive that accolade this week.
I'm pleased for the sake of the podcast. But as a human, I'm saddened that there are now two contestants for this on a weekly basis that I have to choose from. But that's okay.
I'm going to be straight up with you. One of these probably didn't happen quite in the last 7 days, but I'm going to throw it in this week anyway.
Fair enough.
The other one, the first one I'm going to tell you, I think actually he would probably be more the arse of the week. This is a man who ended up in hospital and caused a bit of a scene.
In a hospital? That's not a good place to cause a scene.
Now, not just any old scene, the army bomb disposal experts had to be rushed to the hospital.
Wow.
Now, can you begin to imagine the scenario that would bring an army bomb disposal team to a hospital?
Well, there would have to be a plausible threat of a bomb. So is he coming with some kind of device? Mm-hmm. Or is it as simple as, you know, like saying bomb in an airport? That causes all sorts of problems. So
no, he has arrived with an explosive device on his person. I say on his person.
I was going to say.
he had a bomb stuck up his arse, mate.
If you go to a hospital with a bomb stuck up your arse, do you call in the medics or the bomb squad? That is a fantastic question.
It was a 57mm shell from the Second World War, designed for use in anti-tank guns. Now, you might be thinking, oh, this man must have some weird fetish around military memorabilia. No. This was a pure accident, Ben.
Shut up.
No, listen, no. Listen.
Oh, I just accidentally pulled my trousers and pants down and sat on a bomb.
Listen.
Ridiculous.
He found the shell while he was having to clear out of his memorabilia. He put it down on the floor and then he slipped and fell on it.
Fuck off. And how dumb do you think these doctors are?
I don't think the doctors would really care how it got there. They just want it out and safely exploded if need be.
I mean, I tell you what, I don't know who this second nomination is, but it's going to struggle to beat that. On a side note, and I'm not saying I'm complaining about this or sympathising with Hitler, but
yeah,
there is a fucking shit ton of German unexploded bombs.
Yeah,
they must have been wondering what they're paying for, that none of them went off. We're digging them up every fucking week in London. Another unexploded bomb, unexploded bomb. They were just dropping lumps of concrete at this point.
Well, I don't know whether this was actually live. I think the bomb squad were called as a precaution, because if you turn up with a bomb up your ass, they're going to call the bomb squad, I'd imagine. That's going to be just
the bomb squad or the bomb squad?
Yeah, that's going to be sort of par for the course. But it's true even the other way. We large percentage of bombs we dropped didn't explode. It was the 1930s and 40s. I think the quality of bomb wasn't great. That's why we dropped so fucking many. And there's quite a percentage of unexploded English bombs in German soil that I found, I think.
Was it like the government who hired some dodgy, you know, one of their mates had a company selling bombs?
It was the bloke who owned the pub. He owned the war minister's publican. He went, I could knock up, a bit of gunpowder. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, he got a multi-million pound contract. He was turning them out. They were just old beer barrels filled with gunpowder. That's all they were.
To be honest, I'm as skilled as the bomb squad are, I'm sure. I think it is only fair that it is removed from the arse before they are expected to defuse it.
Yeah.
That's a next level of skill, defusing a bomb whilst up someone's arse.
The one question I would like to know the answer to, and this is very similar to a story I think I heard on the Ricky Gervais podcast a long time ago, which was about someone going in with a sauce bottle inserted, and it was the same thing, they'd fallen off a ladder or something.
Yes.
But this man's story, that he'd put the explosive down on the floor, he'd found it in his collection, he then slipped and fell on it. I mean, you'd have to go with some force for it to make its way through, let's presume, like most people, he's wearing some sort of trouser or short and then some undergarment of some description. Or was he cleaning it, you know, as nature intended?
What the hell does that mean?
Naked. I
mean, right, I see. I've never had the urge to clean anything whilst being naked and think that would improve the cleaning experience.
No. Well, you can get very hot cleaning sometimes, can't you? I mean, you know, I tend to sometimes go down to shorts and a T-shirt if I'm doing a lot of rigorous cleaning.
Yeah.
But never full naturist. Maybe the man was a naturist. We don't know that.
How on earth he could look them in the eye whilst he gave them that crock pot of just...
Well, he weren't looking them in the eye, mate. It wasn't the right angle for that, the way they were having to detonate things.
Right. So go on, I have to know the next one now.
Okay, right, so he's number one. Now, the next one, well, it could be more than one person, this. I'm going to put it down as a group of people who will get the collective award. And these are the people who tried to stop a lifeboat going out to sea because they didn't want people going out and helping migrants who might be in trouble in the seas. They blocked a lifeboat.
Okay.
And were shouting abuse at the RNLI volunteers. There's a wonderful thing on Twitter, and I was going to try and find you the clip, and I couldn't find it again, which I was a bit gutted about because I'd love to have played this to you. But there's someone who was filming someone shouting at some lifeboat men and women, going, "Oi, don't you go and save any more of that lot. We don't want any more of that lot coming over here. That's why I stopped giving you donations." Right? And the brilliant thing was just the man filming it just went twat. That's the way. Sums it up, didn't it? Sums it up. I mean, honestly, these people, fuck me. I mean, let's not get too serious, but what's happened in the last couple of weeks surely goes beyond any kind of politics, any kind of agenda you've got. These are people who need saving. That's the beauty of the RNLI, right? They just go out and they help people who need help. It does. They don't care about why or where they're from, what the details are. They just help them.
Yeah. I, to be honest, I thought when we started this feature, it would be almost impossible for you to describe any set of circumstances that I wouldn't be awarding the bomb up the arse guy dick of the week. But you have managed. Anyone who is willing to prefer that migrants or human beings, as they're also known, die and drown and then heckle the Royal National Lifeboat Institution for trying to save their life and then say, "That's why I don't donate to you no more."
Yeah.
They have handsomely beaten the bum guy to Dick of the Week.
Excellent. So there we go. And as I mentioned last week, when the Dick of the Week award went to the man who complained about the air ambulance.
Yeah.
As with my final words there, please, as we go towards Christmas, goodwill to all men, just a little donation to the RNLI, and really poke it to these fuckers. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations. What you got for us this week, Ben?
I have recently discovered a new podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I found on YouTube I've known about them for a while. There are two comedians, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, both incredibly funny comedians. Their Netflix specials and the YouTube clips, they're worth a recommendation on their own any day of the week. But the thing I'm recommending this week is actually the two of them coming together to do a podcast, which I admit I'm very late to the game on. It's been up for quite a while. It's called Two Bears, One Cave, Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer. It's incredibly funny. It's two guys just talking bollocks for an hour or so. Which probably...
I bet they've got way more listeners than we've got, and we're trying to do exactly the same.
Just a handful or two, I think.
But then maybe they've got talent. Might be the problem.
That's my recommendation.
Excellent. Well, mine is actually what you mentioned last week but hadn't watched. I have now watched Tiger King 2.
Yes, you really threw me last week because I was going to rewatch the whole thing. Mm. And then you said, oh, well, don't do that because they may have a recap.
Yes, they don't.
Yes, so now you've since told me there is no recap, and now I just don't know what to do with myself. Do I rewatch all of Tiger King or just sort of jump
in? I think jump straight in. I jump straight in. It's only five episodes, which wasn't enough. I needed more. I mean, honestly, if you've seen the first one, you know what a conveyor belt of Fruit Loops Tiger King is.
Oh, yeah.
And that just continues with Tiger King 2. I mean, look out in particular... I think it's about episode 3. Look out for the psychic detective.
Wow.
All I'm going to say to you is the word chicken. I mean, that's...
How can I not watch now?
That's just... I mean, the whole episode with him is incredible. And then there was one man who I had forgotten who does appear in the first series, a guy called Tim Stark. He takes absolute madness to another level.
Okay.
The guy is... Nuts doesn't even describe it. The way he, I don't want to give too much away, but let me tell you just the way he behaves around authority is extraordinary.
I can't wait.
So if you've not seen Tiger King at all, I suggest you go and watch it from the very start. But if you've seen the first one, get on to the second one. It is phenomenal.
Excellent.
There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget to get in touch with us about absolutely anything. We're at Trevor and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe. Stay well, take it easy.
Bye.